Okay, we are clear. Ready to go live in 5, 4, cue the talent, 3. Hey, I said cue the talent. 2, and 1.
Attention hobbyists, sports fans, and collectors nationwide and abroad. It's time to get hype. All a part of. Live from the Mojo Break Studios, it's Dan and Doug.
Come on!
So, get hyped. Be hyped. This is The Hype.
Oh, hey. Hey, what is going down, everyone? It is The Hype. Episode number 125, because there could be only 125. We are back in the Bay Area. Just got back from Texas. The million card rip party. My hands are numb. I don't know if you can look up a, you know, hand misogynist. I don't even know if that's the right word. But that's what I need right now, because my hands are burning. My hands are burning. But we're going to talk 2020 tops. We're going to talk about the rip party today, the million card rip party, you know, what we thought, how the experience went. So it's going to be a fun little show. We're going to end it off talking about Pat Mahomes. Is he the next messiah for all of sports and the NFL? Dan, how you doing?
I'm tired, bro.
You tired?
I'm tired, bro.
Yeah, you going to make it?
No, not going to make it.
Are you seeing visions of 2020 Topps cards?
I love that product.
You do? Is it your favorite?
I love it. It used to be 2010 plates and patches football.
Oh, God.
2020 Topps Series 1. I didn't get enough.
You didn't get enough?
I just want to get some.
You just want it right in your veins,
I want some more.
Just directly. You want to drink it up.
Favorite players are Bo Bichette, Yordan Alvarez, Gavin Lux, and Aristides Aquino.
So for those of you that didn't know what was going on, so yesterday, live from Dallas Stadium, Jerry's World, us and a bunch of other breakers took part in breaking a million cards of Topps 2020 Series 1 Jumbo. And it was the, you know, day before release, so it is officially out today. So check out your local card store. We do have a break on Friday of it. Today's is sold out, so check it out. But it's you know, it was a good move, I think, by Topps to bring attention to flagship Topps, which is, you know, the reason we all kind of collect, right? I mean, a lot of us baseball card collectors all started with Topps growing up and stuff. You know, I know personally, me, I started with 87 Topps. That was the first set my parents gave me. So, you know, so it's 2020 ushering in baseball. You know, we all forgot about the Super Bowl, at least I did, and it's time for baseball. So baseball right after the Super Bowl, it's time for spring training almost. So it was a cool event. Crazy. And I got to give props to Topps. I know that's, you know, we say that cliche all the time, but they ran a really, really, really clean event. I mean, they never done an event before, and we've done events with Panini and stuff like that. You guys can see our NFL rookie premiere events. And we thought, man, they're going to be jumping into this thing with 18 breakers. We're going to be doing 18 cases apiece, a million cards. They're going to, how's the internet going to work? It went down solid. And it was ushered in by Pete Alonso. So Pete Alonso opened the first pack. He's actually on the box, so it was cool. Really cool dude. He was, you know, a big man, big mammoth man. And he opened the first pack, and the rest was history. We all went at it for a solid 8 to 10 hours, just ripping cards. And you can check out the whole entire 9-hour feed if you want on Topps' YouTube. And it was an epic event. What was your takeaway from it?
My fingers hurt. My throat hurts.
That's your takeaway?
It's my takeaway. Pretty delusional. But the event, I don't know how you have energy. Like, I don't, you're like, that Red Bull must have worked.
It worked. And I haven't ate, so I'm running on like some fumes, pushing
the
last gear.
The event was well done. Totally pro. For it being Topps' first event, and to put 20 breakers in like one room, going into it, I was like, this is going to be a nightmare. I mean, all signs pointed to it being a nightmare. Now, for Doug and myself, We had a fight through adversity. Started off kind of a nightmare. Mm-hmm. Nothing to do at Tops. It wasn't their bad. It's just Doug and I, like, we have the best luck when it comes to IT equipment and just, you know, dialing stuff in when we take it on the road. So we had to fight through a little bit of adversity. Blew up a computer.
Our $7,000 mobile broadcasting computer decided to not work, right? 10 minutes before the rip party.
The ironic
started.
Thing is that Tops actually had two of the same exact computers that were working fine.
Yeah.
That were doing the whole event. So.
Oh, they had some live streamers too?
Yeah. Theirs worked. We must have got the bad one.
Mm-hmm.
It's been in the shop a couple times now.
Yeah, we just got it fixed before the National. Felt pretty confident about it because it literally got new stuff put into it. And it didn't work. But needless to say, we
actually... So everybody... I go on Twitter and looking at everybody's comments and... We were there. We were there doing it. I can tell you right now, it was an absolute pro performance put on by Tops.
Yeah.
It was a great, great event. We were not in like a conference room or like a storage room like I saw people. We were actually in the press box.
Mm.
It was a super nice like area. Like you could see the field from where we were at. Like it was a killer spot. So,
which that place is ridiculous. Cowboy Stadium is crazy. The screen itself costed $40 million. So I guess the screen cost more than the old stadium costed.
Damn.
So, and it actually goes up and down. It was down. They had some other thing going on the field. It looks like they have events this time of year because there's no football and probably not a concert.
Did they feed you guys there?
Yeah, they had food. Go ahead.
I didn't eat. I not to toot my own horn, but I broke for 9 hours straight and took a 5-minute break to go to the restroom. And other than that, I was actually ripping packs.
Yep. A lot of packs being ripped. But the place itself, yeah. Feel bad for me. I think you should go on Twitter and tell people.
I think I am. I'm just going to be like, feel bad for me. I worked my ass off.
I mean, the catheter you had to keep, you know, dumping out and your diaper, you know, when you had to go to the bathroom.
Some of the stuff on Twitter was like,
it's coming up.
I'm not going to ruin your show here.
Some of the WBs on Twitter about the whole event because, you know, it's easy to criticize when you're at home, but, you know, when you're out there. But anyways, I want to talk about this because I was looking at this photo and I saw it happen live. Yeah, Pete Alonso, you know, opened the first pack with his teeth, right? And it's not the first athlete. We broke with a lot of athletes that did that. I think Lonzo did that with you, right?
Yep.
Sure. A couple of football players we broke with. And to me, I'm like, my first reaction if I can't open anything is to go to my teeth. I would never do that. So I'm trying to understand the mindset, you know. And how many of you guys out there? I want to know. I should probably put a poll on Twitter. How many of you guys have opened packs with your teeth? Like, and that's the go-to. Like, you can't get it with your hands, but you're gonna go to the teeth. I would worry about, you know, dinging a corner or bleeding in my mouth. Like, I'd probably start bleeding. Like, I'd try to bite into a pack and the foil would go up on my gum line or something and you know, cut my gums. I just don't understand the going to the teeth thing.
I bite into NT.
The whole box?
Yeah, I know. I take the sticker off of my teeth. You got a lot of skill, though. You got to get all up in it.
You got to get up all up in it. So that's why you don't eat. You eat like metal, stuff like that, right?
It's wood.
No, well, the hinges are metal.
Nah.
Yeah, Max says he was under the impression we'd break from the field. You know, it was cold as balls out there. And I know it's indoor, but it probably would have been pretty damn cold on that field. And then acoustically would have been probably a nightmare. So I suggest it's a 9-hour video, but I would scrub through it. They put me on one of them. But they had a new host. I forget her name, but she was great. And she was hosting it, and they had a whole team of production. They had five cameramen. They had cameras that were installed in the rooms to do an overhead shot. And they had people, you know, it was a production that they were doing. So, you know, they were playing ads in between everything. They were showing the breakers. They had cameras walking around catching the breakers breaking. Mm-hmm. Apparently, supposedly, they had Pete Alonso on MLB Network doing the, you know, with the teeth in the pack. And I guess we're in the background, as somebody told me. So, you know, that was pretty cool. But that was all Topps' production. They spent a lot of money in getting that production and doing it pro. So it probably would have been hard to do it on the field.
Yeah, I think sometimes I forget a lot of times. Topps not just a sports card company. You know, they're a pretty big candy manufacturer.
So, got that ring pop money.
Yeah, so they got a lot of money to make sure their production is A1. Right?
But as far as getting promotion for the Breakers, like, and I'm not comparing Topps to Panini at all because it's completely different events. But like, they made sure that with their stream and getting Breakers up on camera and stuff like that, we got a lot of promotion out of it. You know what I mean? So it was like really well done to make sure that they, you know, we were kind of scratching their back in a sense to make sure the million cards were ripped, and they were making sure that they gave us some pub. And so that was great, you know. Great publicity for everybody that was there. I mean, there was some great Breakers there. A lot of our friends were there that we see at all the shows. Wanted to break down the I want to get in the next segment. I wanted to actually talk about the cards. 2020 Tops. I want to see what you guys think. What do you think about the design? You know, this is the design that's going to be in Series 2. It's going to be an update. It's going to be also be in Chrome.
I know what Dan thinks.
I know what I think, too.
That there needs to be one more border?
Dude, I need my borders, bruh.
But that's you know, it's 2020, man. You know, cars are made differently. Nah, you want cards made like from the 70s? You want to make the same way?
Just give me a border, dude. Just give me a border for a lot of reasons. Since we opened up 4 trillion cards.
Yeah, yesterday, it was really hard to tell the parallels.
You can't tell the parallels because there's no border. Yeah. Hook. Hook a homie up with a border.
So where would you tell in the writing in his name? Or?
No, the one border.
Yeah.
The one border on the left.
Yeah. Yeah, and then it could be on the right on certain players' cards too.
Okay. Yeah, it's another. It like flip flops. Let's go back to basics.
Debbie Danner.
Back to basics. Let's have a border. Every flagship.
Or Danny Downer, I should say.
Product should have a border. Hook me up with a border.
Man, you're like, get off my lawn. You're like,
I like card regular. What can
you're
I
like
say?
37 going on 85. He's like, bring back 1965 designs. Then you should really love Heritage.
What's your favorite Topps design?
2020.
2020. Well, I get it.
I've seen so much of it, you know, it's got to be my favorite.
I don't think it is.
I mean, we usually only do, what, 2 or 3 cases a year, jumbo? So, I mean, did a lot.
I don't have feeling in the tips of my fingers right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, I can imagine, man.
That's maybe we'll get that checked. The only cure for that is more cowbell. No, more.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say weed.
More, more ripping more packs. So, but you
know, what's a cure for that? From
knocked up.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it knocked up or forgetting Sarah Marshall
when he says weed?
Yeah.
I don't.
He's like, you know, it's a cure for that. Weed. Got any?
Yeah.
I think it's forgetting Sarah Marshall.
It might be.
Seth Rogen also does that bit in
What do you think, Long Arms? He doesn't know.
So what did you think about having the – so they – if you're not familiar with the jumbo box now, so this year they actually – they had the turkey red box toppers, which I think look pretty cool. I don't think there's any variations. I don't think there's any autographs of those, so I don't know for sure. I haven't seen a checklist, but and then they have the 2 silver packs that used to be out of the box are now in the box, and they started that last year, but – I love the Chrome cards. The Chrome cards look great. We were hitting a good amount of autos. If you haven't seen those, they have like the Mojo Refractor design.
Is that like a Chrome preview almost?
No, because it's the is it the 84 design they used? Mike, is it the 84 design? It's right there, that Trout, the left side. 85?
Mojo, yes.
Yeah.
It's got a border, I think.
It might, so that might be your favorite design.
It's got a border.
So we actually pulled that Mike Trout to 10. That was awesome. That was one of our bigger pulls. And then that Aaron Judge that right there is
SP.
So we had a lot of Aquino SPs. But then we hit one Jordan. That was a picture of the Jordan
I'll be your Dan.
I mean, we were saying Jordan. How many times do you think we said Jordan yesterday?
Oh, dude. How many times did I say I'll be your Dan?
Yeah. Sounds a lot.
Delusional, bro.
It was almost like because every Breaker would say Jordan.
Like collectively, like the whole everybody, like everybody was saying.
That's the Guinness World Record right there.
Everybody was saying the same 4 guys everywhere.
Yeah. It was almost like we had our own language, like Jordan, 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 Jordan. It's like it was a made up language because everybody was going over the Jordans. You got to figure there's at least 6 rookies in a case, right? Plus you got a lot of inserts of them and stuff. So, yeah, Jordan was probably said about 300,000 times yesterday. Maybe I'm over exaggerating, but
what was your least favorite thing about the product? See if we're gonna be on board with the same thing.
Least favorite thing
besides borders.
You know, I don't like how the card's backwards sometimes, especially from a breaker standpoint. I know it's more of a breaker problem.
Backwards.
I love it all, man. I loved the set. I mean,
like the hits were backwards.
No, I mean, but you're going through. Sometimes the cards are up, like the other way, not backward. I'm sorry. Oh. Upside down. Not backwards.
Okay. Yeah.
Upside down. So you're trying to go through them, and then you have to look, and then they're upside down or whatnot. So
yeah, also makes it a lot harder to catch the SPs when they're upside down as well.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So what's your least favorite thing? Trying to figure out the SPs?
No, not at all. Because I felt like I did a pretty good job.
You did.
Of
you're a pro.
Yeah.
A pro's pro.
You know, come at me, bro.
You know about that life.
The box toppers.
Yeah. I mean, I like Turkey Red design.
Nah, we're done. We can get rid of them. Did you find one that was paralleled or autoed or anything?
No, and, you know, I don't like things that are not card size regular.
Yeah,
you know?
And I don't like, I mean, it's not even like box topper size regular. It's like a tweener.
Yeah. With you with that hood on, I feel like I'm waiting for, like, there's a hunger.
And I'm holding it. Ah, man.
I know, yeah.
Love Creed.
With arms wide open. Yeah. Open. Well, I feel like that's what you're going to do. But
that guy has the voice of an angel.
He does.
Who, Scott Stapp?
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. He does. Just like Nickelback. They're in that same category.
Oh, I thought that was the same guy. he has the voice of an angel, too.
You Chad Kroeger?
They're on the list of one of those bands you'd go to see, but you wouldn't tell people you went. Creed and Nickelback are in that same category.
I have no problem telling people.
You
that.
Don't, but there's I've a lot
seen,
of people.
I've seen Creed multiple times. I've seen Nickelback. No problem.
But the amount
of Nickelback's playing this summer, I'm going.
Yeah, see, I'm not in the rock world, so I don't understand.
It's like I don't know what to compare it to across like other music. Like, you know, it's just like they fill up stadiums, but no one wants to say they're a fan of that band.
Oh, like okay, like I'm a Justin Bieber fan. Does that count?
Are
same
you?
Way?
Oh shoot. Yeah.
Ooh,
same.
Ooh,
baby.
But yeah, it's kind of the same thing. Yeah, you don't want to say, you know.
It's kind of cool.
I guess
like
I'm a JT fan, Justin Timberlake. I mean,
it's kind of cool if you're like a 12-year-old girl.
Save for Nickelback, bro.
Right.
Their demographic is definitely
12-year-old girls.
No. That'd be weird.
Nickelback?
Yeah, I'd say 40 to 50. 30, 35 to 50.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, people of all ages could enjoy Nickelback.
Oh yeah, yeah, they cross generations, generational band, once in a generation band.
You know, like Baby Shark, Nickelback.
Yep. Same thing. They should cover it.
That would be a great cover.
Dunna dunna, Baby Shark. Actually, I think there's a metal version of Baby Shark on YouTube.
Oh my god,
there is. It's a cover. It's
yeah.
Good.
What were we talking about again?
Back to what we're here for. I think we went into a variety show here with talking about Nickelback. But anyways, I wanted to get into the WBs that have already posted on Twitter, and I wanted to, you know, say how it went down for us. So a lot of people criticized the event saying Series 1's boring. Well, it's not flawless. It's not Dynasty. It's not Museum Collection. We knew that. You knew that going into it, that it's going to be bass heavy. It's about the set builder. And it's what makes Tops. It's the OG. When they only made one set, it was flagship. That's their bread and butter, so to speak. So, three hits a box. You know, one of them is going to be a manufactured patch.
That's actually a lot. You know, I've heard that for years. You know, like me, not with baseball particularly, but with, you know, basketball and Revolution. You know, there's different products for different people, man.
It totally is. And, you know, so there was a lot of people complaining about that it was the stream on Tops wasn't, you know, lively enough, which I thought they did as great of a job as they could. There was also a lot of people complaining about Breakers missing a certain card. Oh, this Breakers missing a card. You got to understand, from a Breaker, it's kind of like put yourself in, like if you work a job 9 to 5, you sit at your same desk every day and you do your job every day the same way. And somebody says, hey, you're going to go across country. You're going to do your same job, but you're going to have hundreds of people around you now because your desk where you work normally, there's nobody around you. It's quiet. It's your quiet place. You can talk to your, you know, now you're going to work in front of 150 other people. You're going to have to do your job 10 times as fast as you normally do your job. And, you know, we had to do 18 cases in less than like 10 hours. Right. So we tried our best to show everything we can. For us, we ship all base. And, you know, you guys know that listen to the hype, and you guys are getting our breaks that have been with us for long enough. You guys know we've been breaking for 10 years. If we're going to take a card, we would have, you know what I'm saying? We wouldn't be breaking still. So everybody knows that they're going to get all their cards. If we somehow miss a foil SP of somebody, it's going to be in your bubble mailer.
Telling me
it's going to be in your box.
Wasn't part of your evil plan?
I know. Just take all the Jalen guy from the Giants. I was just keeping them all.
Jalen Davis.
I didn't even know his name. That's how awesome he is.
I do. In my dreams. In my dreams, nonstop. That guy's going to be good based on how many cards.
This guy has some serious FOMO.
Yeah, so this is kind of a little off. I'm kind of going to get into that, but because there was more stuff about just breakers missing stuff. And for one, for us, and, you know, not going to tout our own horns, but we've been breaking Series 1 probably then longer than anybody in that room. We started breaking Series 1 in 2010, 2011. So, and we always have shipped base. So it was like, hey, and I mean all base. We're shipping veteran base. So that's what we're doing. For six cases, we're shipping all base. You buy the Astros, you get all your cards. You buy the Yankees, you get all your cards. That's how it's going down. Now, it's going to take a little while to sort those cards. But there was guys that were only shipping veteran base, or I mean not shipping veteran base, or guys that weren't shipping certain inserts or something like that. They're making sure they ship the hits and the rookies. But to me, it was so hard doing 18 cases over the course of 9 hours that I wouldn't be able to pull out the vet. So I saw guys with boxes, and it said unwanted base. I'm like, there's got to be a rookie card in there. There's got to be an SP that they threw away. There has to be, because there's no way for me for us to do that in that time, get through 18 cases, and make sure we've pulled out everything correctly. I'm sure I didn't show one Jordan here and there. I'm sure I didn't show one Bichette here and there.
Speak for yourself,
You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm pretty damn good, but, you know.
Speak for yourself. I showed everyone, and I went over everything. Flawlessly.
That's why your fingers hurt.
That's why you were two hours later than our boy.
And about the bounties, and somebody was talking about how the smaller breakers didn't win bounty. You needed to have a crew of 20 people. Like, yeah. If you're going to do the bounties. We went there with with four total.
Mm-hmm. Probably
could have used eight. Minimum.
Now, that was another thing. The bounties that, you know, we were talking about the WBs. We'll get into the bounties too. But there was this gentleman on Twitter, you know, and I don't follow him, but I saw it because I just was searching the million card rip party hashtag. And I saw this. It looks like there won't be anything left when my boxes arrive. So glad you catered to breakers who just want to make money and not actual collectors who appreciate the hobby. Yeah, it sounds like some FOMO. And dude, I posted something to Cardboard Icons, which is, he's got a great blog. I recommend you guys checking it out. He was talking about this whole same subject because I was on the plane and I was like, yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking. It's kind of like Top Series 1 is kind of like running out of M&Ms. You ever go to Target and there's not going to be M&Ms right before you check out? There's not going to be M&Ms there. They're going to run out of M&Ms. They're not going to run out of Series 1. They make so much of Series 1. It's their flagship. It's 300 base card set. The manufactured patches, the autos are numbered to 199. It's a huge auto checklist. They're not going to run out of a million cards being ripped. 300-something cases is probably like 2% of the run. And I don't know facts-wise if that's correct. I'm sure you could break down the odds.
Everybody was breaking the jumbo configuration. Do you know how much hobby version of it they make?
Oh, God. Oh, I know.
Like, I like read this and I started laughing. I'm going to throw, how many cases, jumbo cases, do you think they make? 3,000?
Oh, maybe 9,000.
9,000? Like,
I don't know. But
so,
I'm just,
so
they make a lot.
So maybe we did 10% of the run. For the jumbo.
Maybe.
For the jumbo configuration. We did 0% of the run of the hobby. And then you put retail in it. You put blasters in there. Like, it's there. And believe me, for the amount of cards and boxes we opened, everybody collectively, there really wasn't that many cards that were huge hits. Because we only did a small percentage of the run.
Right. There was one golden ticket hit. Out of 50,
there was
50 of them.
I think there was one cut auto. There was like maybe three sketch cards.
Yeah.
There was a couple like letter patches that were 101s. There was a Super Fractor Ken Griffey Jr. out of the update pack.
But here's the thing. Are you going to buy a 2011 update box You're looking for a one-on-one of Don Mattingly?
Me?
No, I'm just saying, in general, are you going to buy a 2011 update? What are you buying it for? A Trout rookie card.
Well, yeah.
So the point, Topps is not about the hits. It's not about the one-on-ones. It's about Jordan, Gavin Lux, whoever you're prospecting, right? Whoever you think is going to be the next big guy. It's about that. And there's no print run stated on those. If Jordan becomes Mike Trout or gets close to Mike Trout, or maybe closer, maybe I should better example, be closer to Ronald Acuna, then that's his card you're going to want. You're not going to buy Series 1 to chase the one-on-one cut autos of Warren Spahn or the one-on-one cut auto of Ernie Banks or the super fractor of Ken Griffey Jr. You're not buying it for that. That's just a bonus. That's just like, okay, great. It's a bonus.
But
and go ahead.
But people are going to complain. Dude, I've seen on Twitter, everybody's like, there's people who are like, you're right. You're right, Doug. You go for the team building sets. You go for the SPs. You go for the rookies. And then there's other people who are like, no, you go for the hits. Like they're like, all the hits are gone now because all the best hits were pulled. Then you have to see other people on Twitter who are like, they didn't really pull anything great. There was like, there's nothing. Like, what is it? Which one is it?
Right.
It can't be everything.
And my other problem with this comment too is it's so glad you cater to the breakers who just want to make money. So what he's saying is that people that buy into breaks aren't collectors then? Right? So people that buy into breaks are not collectors. Because nobody in that room was breaking for themselves. We were all breaking for our customers. Our customers were getting a product a day early, and they had a chance at some of the stuff that was there, and they got to be part of an event. So, like I said, this doesn't affect us, but, you know, we have this show. You know, I don't go home and cry. Oh, my God, I can't believe, like, three guys on Twitter said that we suck.
I do.
It doesn't bother me, but for the sake of having some content for the show, it's good banter. It's good to talk about both sides of it because there's a lot of these guys on Twitter just complaining about the event. It's like, why? Why? Why are you complaining about it? So I think I had one more on here of somebody else that said, I think it's along the same line. Thank you so much for taking 1 million cards away from normal folk to be able to open. You guys always do what's best for the customers. So taking one. So who's normal folk? So
dude,
me and
sometimes people.
So our customers are not normal folk.
These people live in an alternate universe, dude.
Like, we are breakers that were out there were selling teams for like $20 or $30. So normal folk would have to go. I don't even know why I'm using that term. If you're looking at it like 1980s, where you have to go in a shop, a Series 1 box is going to be $120. Where you can get, if you don't have $120, you could still probably get into somebody's break at the million card rip party. There was 18 breakers that you could have found something. There was guys that still had boxes the day of. So there's no requirement to buy into any of these guys' breaks besides the fact that you have money. That's it. So what's the difference between going into a shop, or is this guy trying to say that he should have been out there ripping Tops? Like, that's what I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's my favorite. It's the best one.
Normal folk to be able to open. You guys always do what's best for the customers.
Tops or any distributor, they did not give us. We bought these.
Right. Yeah. Like, yeah. They gave it to us for free.
These were actually. We got more of it than we wouldn't. We could have ordered, 20 cases of it, but we are not going to break that many cases of Series 1, Series 2, or Update.
Right.
So we wouldn't put in pre-orders, but if we did, we may be able to get it. But this was our normal allocation.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think the stigma of a million cards is where, like, and because now you hear people on Twitter, it sounds like a lot, but if you break it down, it's really not that much on a print run. So people are like thinking that, everything's done now, and it's just a million cards, that number's stuck in people's heads instead of trying to open their mind and think, hey, there's the bigger picture here. And you know what? If you pull a Jordan now, like you go in your shop, you pull a Jordan, there's already be some steam on the product because it was so heavily promoted yesterday. Mm-hmm. Top spent a lot of money. We went out there, and the money we took in breaks, the amount of money we had to pay to get out there, the amount of money we had to pay for a room, the amount of money we had to pay to ship stuff back, we're not going to make any money. It was strictly for the publicity and the fact that our customers had access to something a day early. So, you know, there was not really much money. And I guarantee it's the same story with everybody that went out there. You know how long it's going to take us to ship to sort 6 full cases of jumbo for each one of those PYT breaks we did? I mean, we're going to have to probably pay somebody. Oh, my God. It's going to be crazy. The whole shipping department is going to be working on it.
I'll tell you right now, each break is probably going to be collectively about 40 hours of manpower.
Right.
That's a normal working week right there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I see Shep got a case. How'd you get a case? I thought we opened it all.
I didn't
think there was any left.
It dried up, man.
Yeah. I mean, for the people that are afraid of that you guys open up all the cases, you know, all the cards, don't worry. There's going to be a 2021 Top Series 1 next year for you. Tops is not going to do this event every year, do you think?
Oh.
They're going to do a billion cards.
Obviously people were like kind of joking, I hope, but there was rumbling going around of a $2 million.
Then you regular folk has 2022.
And honestly, if it's 2 million, it's only 700 cases or whatever.
But I do got something. I'm glad Shep brought it up. I was planning on talking about it anyway, but if any of you guys, I'm going to try to be on Saturday. I do have my kids and stuff, but there's a new exciting show that's going down. Bunch of podcasts, all the top podcasts around, we're combining to do the Hobby Hotline. So it's going to be a live call-in show. If you have questions about something, you call in, you interact with us. You know, we're basically here to help. We're here to hear these replies. You know, probably most of these people aren't going to call in, but if they do, that'd be great content. So, you know, Graham Brown, call in. We'll talk. So I want you guys to follow at Hobby Hotline on Twitter. And the first show is going to be this Saturday. It's 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern. So, and we actually are giving away a box of Topps Jumbo Series 1.
What? But it's all gone.
It's all gone. It's all, once again, it's all gone. Gone.
How did we get more?
I don't know, man. I had to wrestle a bear. I got another one.
Dude, how did you do that?
I found a way. So we're giving it away. You got to go to that Twitter account to find out how to win. So it's at Hobby Hotline.
At Hobby Hotline. I'm actually breaking the last case in stock in America in about 30 minutes.
PYT. It's all dried up, guys.
America.
Yeah, so yeah, the hotline's going to be awesome. About the cards, Big Shep, who's in the chat, they're going to be part of it. We've got Val from NASCAR Radio. We have Sports Card Nation. We have Let Me Get That Potograph. I know I'm forgetting some of you guys. This was kind of more on the fly because we just got back into town. But if you go on the Twitter machine, you can find out. So follow at Hobby Hotline, and we're gonna have set topics. It's not gonna be me and Dan. We're gonna mix, you know,
to get
hosts
weird
and stuff, and it's gonna be a lot of fun. And it's gonna happen. First show is this Saturday, 8 a.m. Pacific.
And again, it's a call-in program.
Yes.
So you can just call in, talk to us.
Yep, exactly. Bring the heat.
You create the content.
Yep.
Let's do it.
You know, and it'll also be, you know, we'll talk about the hot topics, but maybe you need help on figuring out what this card is, or what, you know, I found something and I need some help on this, or I need some advice as a collector. Maybe what Bowman guy is good, or, you know, it'd be great topics that are going to spur from these calls.
We can talk about hot topics.
Like the store?
Like the store.
Is that still around? They are, I think. Got some cool band shirts over there. I need to get my Slipknot tees. Yeah, definitely. So the last topic I want to talk about, which is really hard for me to talk about, but it's a little therapy to get over my Niners losing the Super Bowl in the last 7 minutes of the game. It was a really tough loss. Didn't have much time to think about it. I got to get on play next day, but, you know, it was a tough loss. So I wanted to talk about Patrick Mahomes, his impact on this hobby. I mean, stats don't lie, obviously. He won MVP in his first full season. He won Super Bowl MVP in his second full season. Max Kellerman says, is Patrick Mahomes the best player who ever lived? Is Patrick Mahomes the number one athlete in the world right now? Is Patrick Mahomes that guy? What do you guys think? His card prices are like basketball card prices. A recent RPA, number to 99, I think it's on the next slide, graded a 9. That's a number to 25 one, but sold for $29,000. $29,000 for a rookie patch auto Patrick Mahomes. This kid's young, 24 years old. Imagine if he does this every year, and you look at Brady's prices, and I think that's what people are justifying. Will, I know it's early, but it's a topic of conversation. Is Patrick Mahomes in 15 years from now going to have a better career and more Super Bowls than Tom Brady?
No.
No?
It's not. I don't think you can build that dynasty anymore in today's NFL. Like, there's so much turnover. Salary cap kind of prevents that. I know the Patriots were doing it with the salary cap, but I don't think you're going to get that. It's Belichick's system. I think that he finds players who fit in his system, and he could kind of maneuver around and get away from the and not having to utilize the salary cap.
Yeah.
I don't think we're ever going to see a football team go on a run where they win like three titles in like 5 years or three titles in even 10 years.
Yeah, the salary cap, you're right. Salary cap era makes it hard. And you know, honestly, I thought Damian Williams should win the MVP. I'm obviously a little jaded, but Damian Williams kept him in the game. Patrick Mahomes had two picks heading into that fourth quarter. Had an epic 7 minutes. Had an epic 7 minutes that obviously won him the MVP. But we were stopping him. We were stopping him. Jimmy G had some bad play. But Jimmy G was not Patrick Mahomes last 7 minutes.
The funny thing is that the Niners win, though. Jimmy G gets the MVP.
And then what do we think about Patrick Mahomes?
And he didn't have that great of a game. The only thing it tells me is that it's pretty much going to be a quarterback.
Right. It's really hard for any other player unless, you know, you have like a 3 or 4 sack game from Bosa or a, you know, a couple pick sixes from one player or something. Yeah, it's hard for any other player other than a quarterback to win the game. But, I mean, what would that change? So if he didn't win the Super Bowl, he loses. Does card value stay the same? Is there still hope?
Oh, yeah. I mean, how much does Jimmy G go up if they win? Probably not that much. I don't know what it is about Jimmy G. He's not really translating well to the hobby, at least the hobby market.
Doug has a good point. It looks like you might be next, C-Rad, to lose the Super Bowl.
About what?
It went Dan and me and
I think he'll be happy to get there if we sniff the playoffs, son.
I'm like, that's a win already.
True, because you know, and that's what I keep telling myself. The Niners were 4-12. 4-12 last year. If you would have told me, like right now, we would have rewound back a year and after the Rams lost the Super Bowl, and you would
have happened.
Yeah, and you would have told me, hey, I think the Niners are going to make the playoffs. You'd be like, well, that'd be great. You know, like, oh, wow, that'd be great. If you'd be like, oh, well, I think the Niners are going to lose the Super Bowl. Ah, I don't think we're going to get the Super Bowl, but it'd be great if we made the playoffs. So I got to look at it that way. It's just so hard when you get there to not get it right.
It's very hard to lose the very last game, the Super Bowl.
Well, it is. It's very tough. Like, but. You could basically go all this year and go, you know what? The Niners were the NFC champion.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the conference champions.
Conference champions.
Like I could say last year, like that, or this, you know, the 19 season. It's the only thing I had was the fact that the Rams got silver.
Yeah, nothing wrong with second best. Mike says, do you think it hurts more because they had such a good season and they were number one seed? I think that does hurt a little bit more because you start to have expectations. I try to keep myself grounded. I mean, if you follow – you guys probably don't follow Niner fans, but being from the Bay Area, we obviously see a lot of Niner talk on Facebook, you know, and fans, you know, people we went to high school with and stuff like that. And people are just overly confident. They're oh, my God, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I try to stay grounded knowing that the fact that usually a team takes its lumps before it actually gets there, right? So, I mean, you can look at Patrick Mahomes last year. Patrick Mahomes lost in the AFC Championship. The Niners in 2013 and 2010, they lost in the division game. Then in 2011 or 2012, they lost in the NFC Championship. And then they went to the Super Bowl and lost. So it was like a progression to get there.
It's a whole lot of losing.
And I know. In my adult life, the Niners have not won. But you know, I could be a Browns fan. So sorry, Chris, but you reminded me of that yesterday. So I could always be a Browns fan. But I think the Browns are going to be good soon. But yeah, it was a tough loss, you know, to take. But there's hope. We have most of the guys signed. But back to Patrick Mahomes. Would you invest in Patrick Mahomes right now? 2 years in, or his price is too high? You think they're going to go down?
Dude, you can't buy at that price right now.
I don't think, has there ever been an NFL player in history that first year won Super Bowl MVP, or first year won MVP through like 50, what did he throw, 50 touchdowns last year?
Yeah, I don't like the guys who get extremely hyped. We went through this.
But
last
I don't
year
think he's
Baker.
I don't think you can say he's hyped. He's won a. He's gotten the promise.
Well, yeah, I mean he's
only 54 quarterbacks.
He shows up and performs. Unlike Baker, who we were like, man, that guy's a Hall of Famer. He got the Browns to 8-8, or maybe right. It may have been 7-9.
Yeah, but they were 0-16 the year before.
Dude, it does not matter if you're 0-16 or if you're 7-9. You're still not making the playoffs. It doesn't matter. Actually, I'd rather be 0-16. And you get the first overall pick.
You have no spirit in that locker room at
0-16. You don't need to keep them. They obviously suck.
You don't think you're going to draft? You're going to be the Dolphins and you're going to get like 7 draft picks and all of a sudden your team's going to mesh and you're going to win a Super Bowl the next year?
Dude, I think the Dolphins make the playoffs next year.
Let's bet.
I need like at least 10-1 or 20-1.
I think the Jets have a better record than the Dolphins next year.
Let's bet 18 cases of Series 1.
Yeah, Chris says, easy, Dan, where was your dude Goff last year? Well, he did throw for 5,000 yards, to be fair.
He did. He threw for 5,000 yards.
To be fair. They just need to get Jeff Fisher back. I think, you know, Sean McVay is like old news now.
Let's trade coaches. We'll take Shanahan. You can take McVay.
No, I'm McVay now. Damaged goods.
Damaged goods. It's another thing. Like we put too much stock in the fact of coaches. They're not the ones out there making plays, man. Like who? I don't know, man. It's always a coach's fault. Or they either get praised for winning, or they get.
Yeah, Shanahan
fired.
Got torched this week.
Oh, he did. He did.
For losing.
Well, it's like
are the coaches out there throwing the ball?
No.
Are they running the ball? Are they blocking for people? Are they sacking fools?
Play calls are important. I mean,
play calls are important. I think execution's more important.
Yeah, totally. Totally. But back to Patrick Mahomes before the end of the show, because we got some Series 1 to break. You got to make sure it's here, by the way. If you look at Brady's prices and you look at a contender's auto that sold for $168,000. Now, granted, probably didn't make as much contenders back then as they make now. Mm-hmm. It seems like, I know it sounds silly, but this guy is on the best start of any career. So if you're betting on somebody to be the next Tom Brady, this guy has the best start of anybody since him. I mean, well, Tom Brady didn't even have a great start. Well, what did he win in his second year? Second or third year? Was 2001 his second... when he beat the Rams?
Don't remind me.
I think
I know. Tuck rule.
I want to say he sat behind. Maybe he did. But yeah, I think he sat behind Bledsoe for a year before.
And then Bledsoe got hurt.
And Bledsoe got hurt.
So I think he won.
I could be wrong though. It was 99. He was drafted in 99, right? Bledsoe started the year. I think he got hurt and Brady.
No, he was drafted he was in 2000 contenders. So. I think it was 2001 he came in. Or maybe he started in 2000. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Maybe he was drafted 99. I don't know. I can't think.
But I was saying, if you look at Brady's prices, this guy is a fraction of his prices. So if you had the money, now obviously I'm not spending $29,000 on a card, but there, you know, you might be able to find like a Silver Prism or something, or you know, get in where you fit in. And it is the off season. You know, right now, obviously, it's probably pretty hot because of the Super Bowl win. But, you know, he is the closest thing right now on paper to what Tom Brady's career has, you know, with 6 Super Bowls. This guy's going to probably play at least 13 more years, Mahomes, 13, 14 more years.
It looks like Brady had the same start as Mahomes. He won in his second year against that Raider game was in his second year.
But he didn't have a MVP in his first year.
No.
So he didn't throw 50 touchdowns in his first year.
No.
So you're kind of saying that Mahomes at this point in his career is ahead of Brady at that point of his career.
Mm-hmm. But he's been in the league for 3 years.
Yeah, well, he can't. Yeah, two full years of football.
We can't compare a guy who has been playing for 20 years to a guy who's been playing for 3 years.
Right. Pacific time on breaks. Pacific is the schedule.
PM.
So, yeah, it'd be something to watch. I know he needs to win one more Super Bowl. What do you guys say? Over, under 4 Super Bowls in his career?
Under.
You're saying under?
Under.
I know C-Rat.
Absolutely no more than 1 Super Bowl.
It's tough. Take your Raider fan hat off. I know you're wearing an Ace hat, but like, you know, take it off and look at him as just
fine,
a player.
Fine. Two. I'll give him two.
He's going to get two. Well, Andy Reid probably won't stick around the whole time. He's going to have to go through a regime change, I would think. I don't know. Maybe Andy Reid does stick around.
I think he may. I would say two. I'm going to say he gets another one.
I think Andy Reid sticks around for the whole time,
but
dude.
But I don't, really? I think it's going to be a while before Mahomes gets another one, and I don't think he's going to be on the Chiefs.
Actually, this is a good question. Without me looking up on Wikipedia, how old do you think Andy Reid is?
59,
we're saying. 61. So he's 61 years old. You know, he's one of those guys that's hard to tell his age. It really is. So, I mean, I know he's been in the league for a very long time. He came under the coaching tree of Bill Walsh. So, you know, he was taught well under the West Coast offense. But, you know, that'd be the thing. If he decides to retire, Mahomes is still there. Mahomes probably is going to pick the coach. He's going to get, you know, he's got that probably that clout now. So, and then the guy today, did you see the video of him catching the beer? C-Rad?
Mm-mm.
He's out there on the streets of Kansas City, and it's cold as balls, and he's holding, like, a production camera. He's walking around the street, so he's filming for somebody, or he's filming for himself. I don't know what it is. And there's a double-decker bus, like, literally a double-decker bus of people. And, there, you know, so there's probably people that are, like, 20 feet up, right? So he's holding this camera, and he signals. Guy throws him a beer, freaking catches it one-handed with the camera. Just it's like the guy can't do anything wrong. I think if he fell off a cliff, he'd land on his feet. Like, wow. The guy's, he's good at everything. Yeah. So, but anyways, that's it. We got to get ready for Series 1, guys. A little quick show. We wanted to talk about the Topps Million Card Rip Party. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, at mojobreak_com, as well as Instagram, that same, you know, that same thing, mojobreak_com. And we do breaks every day. We got a schedule. So if you're ever thinking about getting into breaks, you can go on our website. Right side is our schedule. All breaks are scheduled. They're Pacific time. They're all done live on YouTube. And we do everything. We got basketball, baseball. I know we talk about baseball today, but we do basketball, baseball, football, hockey. We do everything. So there's something for everybody. We do small breaks to large breaks to medium-sized breaks, everything in between. We do it. So you can find – or if you just want your own box, we do that as well. We open it up. So, but we got a schedule today. So I think the first couple ones are either sold out or close to selling out. But you can get in some stuff later. But that is it for the show, 125. We'll see you guys next week on 126. Peace out.
Peace. 20 minutes until Series 1, guys. We'll keep the live going, the feed going.